Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Al Horford was at shoot-around yesterday morning. So this is something that hit the team very much by surprise as they were getting ready to leave their hotel for game one. The NBA rules are a little complicated here. He potentially could be out a minimum of 5 days, which would be 3 games. He could also test out, depending on whether he's positive or negative, or whether his viral load is, you know, can be reduced. But it is unknown at this point whether that can happen. I will say there are several staff members with the Celtics who have tested positive over the last few days. So this is something that's got to be worrisome around the Celtics right now. But we will have to see how things develop over the next couple of days with Horford. And, you know, but they have to brace themselves with reality. He's not going to be around for at least for game two and maybe longer.
So many places to go with this.
All right. That was Brian Windhorst from ESPN talking about the absence of Al Horford yesterday. Just hours before, apparently, the Celtics finding out.
He's got a small viral load.
That he was not going to be available. Of course, Marcus Smart was also, well, I was would say he was sitting, but he wasn't sitting. He was standing the whole game.
Pacing.
On his sprained foot. Yeah, pacing, directing traffic, which I appreciate the enthusiasm. But please, let's get that snazzily dressed man sitting courtside.
It looks like he's probably going to play. Hey, listen, if you can stand up and cheer and bark and yell and scream, then hell, you can play in a game.
All right.
I still think that, who was that, Brian Windhorst? Was that who that was?
Yeah. Yes.
I think he regrets some of his choices of words.
Why?
I think you're picking him apart there, Christian.
You think?
I think you're being a bit of a kindergartner.
You just like that word. Oh,
welcome to the party.
You're being a bit of a child.
You think? How are you not giggling?
Mego, this is Christian. Christian, this is Mego.
Hello, nice to meet you. I've been here all week. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
just like, viral load.
That's considering what his load might be going forward.
Thank yes. you for playing.
Rob... The question goes to Rob Williams. So Rob started out last night. He looked great. Spectacular. He looked healthy, great, everything, very effective. And then we get to the second half, and he's getting out-rebounded by guys like Tyler Hero on the boards. Not what you want to see. And at one point, he went down, was grabbing his leg, and it's like, oh,
cramp.
Here we go again.
Ooh, my knees.
afterwards, he said, you know, not a big deal. Can we hear from Rob Williams?
Last night was cramps. I was trying to yell at them from court. I know when they see me start grabbing my knee, everybody start panicking. But I was trying to yell and tell them, you know, I was just cramping. But like I said, basic fatigue. You know, for game 7, last series, I wasn't, you know, all the way ready. But I just told E-May, you know what I'm saying, I can give you something, right? If you need to throw me in for a jump ball or something, you know, I feel like I can give you something. So it was just being cautious, you know. Thankfully, we got through that round, but... You know what I'm saying? We got to handle business now.
You feel better about the way that went down in Game 7 now? Like, with an explanation?
No.
Why?
No.
Why? What?
I feel worse.
No.
Okay, so the second part of that quote is really what I think we need to talk about, which is, okay, so Sunday afternoon, he says, like, if you really need me,
yeah.
I'll go out there. If you
Situational.
Really, I don't feel good. And then Tuesday night, he's like, hey, I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm great. And then he goes out with cramps. I know cramps aren't a major thing. Part of it is going to be re-upping himself to get back in. But if you don't have Horford for game 2, I'm just always worried about this guy's...
I feel like you're Mama
say
Bear.
Stamina,
you're Rob Williams'
help.
Mama Bear.
No, the problem with Rob Williams is, unlike maybe somebody else that was, you know, like, we'll see with a guy like Marcus Smart, right? The bone bruise, or like the little bruise he had, the contusion. And it was like, dude, I just can't go today. You give me 24 hours and I'm probably going to feel okay. Right? So that's just like a one-off injury. Somebody like Rob Williams, and I agree with Mego, you're sitting there saying your knee, what you're dealing with your knee, how it got re-aggravated it. And on Sunday, you're like, I can't go. And then 2 days later, you're like, I'm ready. Give me 28 minutes and I'll be ready for the rest of the series. You're losing him at some point in this series. Like, oh, it's just not. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, especially if you need 28 minutes from him, you know, in these first two or three games, if Al doesn't play, like, there's a concern. The guy couldn't play Sunday, and now all of a sudden Tuesday, 2 days later, he's like, I'm in.
I don't know why I'm the only person.
It's a nagging
maybe
injury.
Maybe he's just overly cautious because of his own personal history, and he doesn't want to screw it up. So he errs on the side of caution every single time. That's, I see it. It's very, did he look hurt at all? Maybe I,
he did after when he was playing, grabbing his leg.
After playing, well, because he was cramping. Drink more water. Drink the stuff that Brady drinks, the little squishy stuff that's like yellow.
He hadn't played in a while, right? So
and he played a lot.
Yeah, then all of a sudden he goes and drops 28 minutes, and he's just like, ow. You know, like, I got a cramp. And you can see it right away. I think he said it. You could read his lips. So, but yeah, when he went down, you're like, oh, my God. Like, anything else go wrong? Seriously, can anything else go
game
wrong?
Game one. Here we go.
Well, like, not just losing game one, but losing bodies everywhere. But hopefully he's okay.
And so there's so many different angles, like, as far as, see, I think that he was obviously fresh legs, ready to go. And he didn't, you know, properly hydrate his body. So he cramps up. He gave you a lot. He gave you a lot of effort. He gave you a ton. So I would like to think, okay, I'm gonna, you know, that one's done. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be available. If you can just get back Al and you can get back Smart, and to what I said earlier, think about all the crazy things that happened. If you want to take a glasses half full approach to this loss, you can look at all the weird things that happened. Like Al, like hours before the game, can't play. And he's down in Miami, right? Like, he is in Miami.
He was at shoot-around.
Yeah, shoot-around in the morning.
So, you can't go.
See, and that's a big one, too, because I'm sure at shoot-around, they kind of felt like, okay, let's prepare for no Marcus Smart. Okay, this is what we're going to do. When Marcus doesn't play, just like game two against Milwaukee or whatever, right? Like, certain matchups or certain pairings or groupings, whatever, on the court. But out of nowhere, Al Horford, that kind of messes with you, right? That messes with everything you want to do that night. Rotations, how you want to attack this team, everything. It's just like right before the game, you lose, like, you know, whatever. Someone that's a big part of the game plan right before the game and like a fluke injury in football, you're like,
you take it all out.
Well, the whole offense is going through him. We just took out half our playbook because of everything was for this guy.
So, no, yeah.
And Al is that important. Well, I'm convinced of it.
I would say he's definitely a big part of the on-court game plan, but it's also more of the confidence thing. Like the leadership that he's thrown.
The two of them.
Shown, he is the grown-up. He's the grown-up in the room here, and we've seen him turn the tide in a couple of those games against the Bucks very effectively. I don't expect him to do that in every series going forward, but he certainly has a presence with the team that they were lacking when they choked and coughed it up awful third quarter.
I expect him to be absolutely lights out, Al, when he comes back.
Are you just trying to throw nicknames against the wall?
Well, it's, you know, whatever. Asymptomatic Al? What do you want? Lights out Al? Wow. I think you're going to get...
He lost all his cool points.
I think
you're going to
get lights out Al when he comes back. Because it does suck. But even if he doesn't play game two, if you can come back here 1-1 and let Al Horford play a five-game series, and you gave him a little bit of a breather, I think we've seen Al Horford what he looks like when he has a rest. Early in the postseason, he looked good. Then he had that big rest versus Milwaukee between those games, and he was lights out.
Okay, but so for
that's
game,
a positive spin.
For
I look
game
at things
two,
positively.
For game two, when Al is most likely not going to be out there, do you feel comfortable with the combination of Rob Williams and Tice? Because Tice was minus 16 on the floor last night. He wasn't as bad as that number demonstrates. He had a couple lobs there, and
I feel comfortable as long as Marcus Smart's playing.
So this is the other aspect.
Smart's playing.
So you're obviously missing their production on the court, right? What they can bring you, points and steals and everything else, blocks. The thing that I think that also was a major factor in this game is it felt like this team was becoming unhinged. It felt like there was a lot of bickering, and they were obviously frustrated. And to Ime's credit, like he's saying, like the other aspect of not having Al and not having Marcus Smart is that they don't calm anything down.
You know, obviously Al and Marcus, two are veteran guys that kind of calm us down at times. You might miss that some, but
like I said, it was a little bit of everybody. It wasn't just young guys and Peyton and those guys. It was Jason and some of our veterans making the same mistake. So no excuse there.
So if Al and Marcus are on the court, same situation, everything's leaders, working out great, they go, no, timeout again. This time, don't be stupid. Okay, timeout again. Will you guys stop making stupid passes?
They go, Grant, shut up. We know you have the mic on. Stop talking, Grant. We're going to get to that.
Why did you do that to me?
On Grant Williams.
You know I can't resist that.
But just from, like, scheme-wise on defense, Smart and Horford together are so successful at shutting down pick and rolls from the other team. Like, they are so, so effective. And that's just little things like that that become the cornerstone of, all right, things aren't going our way. We're going to have this smothering Celtics defense that is, you know, the banner of our team. They just couldn't have it last night without those two guys on the floor. Yeah,
you hit on it before, too. Like, the matchup they were picking on was Pritchard. Now, he's not out there, right? He's not out there. Marcus Smart is out there. That opening is not happening, right, with Marcus Smart out there. But when you lose Marcus, when you lose Al, it's the reason why Jaylen Brown can't go out and play basketball like he looked like he's never played before the first three quarters. And it's the most fraudulent line I've ever seen in my life. When you look at it, it's like, 24 and 10.
Oh, it's all fourth quarter. Like, it's all fourth quarter.
Like, I'm sure, you know, people, because we've done this before. Like, it's just like when Tatum had a couple good fourth quarters and the numbers look fantastic. It's like, if you look at the final box score and you say Jaylen Brown went 24 and 10 and think he played well, here's one of the reasons why. Like, as good as you played in the first half, he wasn't doing anything. Mm-mm. In the third quarter,
he was awful.
For three quarters, he was awful. And he can't be awful. He's got to be, in my opinion, the third best player in this series behind Jimmy Butler. It needs to be Tatum, Butler, Brown. It can't be Tyler Hero third or Bam third or anyone else third. It's got to be him, and he was awful in this thing. All right, let's go to the phone calls. I want to go to Cal, who's down in Quincy. Go ahead, Cal.
Hey, guys. Hey, so I have to eat my words. I didn't think they could find Milwaukee. But that being said, the two guys out last night, it was evident that without their defensive play and their, you know, wisdom to the game, Al's a facilitator and so was Marcus. I don't think that they're, you know, without Robert Williams stepping up either. I mean, he got to be more productive in the paint and shoot the ball. And, you know, they're not as, you know, big as Milwaukee. You know, you don't have...
Thank you for the call.
That was the tough thing, was the whole first half. Celtics looked so dominant physically. Yeah. I mean, they looked the only one that was getting any runaround on you was Tyler Hero from the Heat. I kept looking at him going like, damn, Tyler Hero's an athlete. That is an athletic little man from Wisconsin.
Obviously, the injuries play a role, but what you just said is the reason why I'm still not worried about this series.
No.
Like, I'm not. I thought they would lose game one, you know, and I still had him in five. Now, if I don't have Marcus Smart or Al Horford the rest of the series or whatever, that's maybe we're talking, maybe it goes seven. But I still think it's just a matter of time before they impose their will on this team. Because I think Marcus Smart does slow down this run that Jimmy Butler went on. I think Al Horford is a big, you know, factor for this team as well. So they lost game one. It was ugly. I'm not worried about the series.
This is where I've been all along. Welcome to my...
What do you tell yourself as you're whistling through the graveyard? Like, well, what do you tell yourself? What you tell yourself?
Is Al going to miss three games?
I don't know. He's got a non-COVID illness.
I would say this. If Al Horford...
Al has the COVID.
He's got the COVID?
He's got something related to it. He's in health and safety protocols.
He's got like the cousin of COVID?
As long as Marcus Smart's foot is okay and Al Horford comes back into this series by game three, they still win this series. It might go seven now, though.
I don't think the Heat can take two back-to-back. Maybe they'll make me, I'll be taking my foot out of my mouth, you know, after game two, but I just don't see that.
Or whether his viral load is, you know, can be reduced. But
there is a difference. There is something about this Heat team. It's something that I had been worried about the entire time, and it's more mental toughness than it is physical toughness. I feel like they just flat out just turned it down. They turned it, like, it's like, okay, it's a 15-round fight, guys. And then you were winning every single round. Suddenly they decided, okay, I'm going to turn it on now. And you wouldn't punch back. Like, they should be embarrassed. They should be insulted by the performance and how they just gave one up.
Gave it up.
They did.
All right, well, we're going to talk to Brian Scalabrine from NBC Sports Boston coming up at 3:30. But we need to talk about Grant. He was mic'd up last night. Oh, we got some bones to pick with him. We'll get to that right after we trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great job getting back in transition, keeping out of those points. Keep guarding the half court the way we are. Keep talking. Keep communicating. Come together here. No matter what happens, play these last 12 minutes correctly. Rather than making excuses and complaining and saying that it's everybody else's fault, hug it down on ourselves. Some more play. No more excuses.
That's Christian's favorite Celtics player, Grant Williams.
He was.
We had to give him his props.
Oh, we do?
He had two great games against the Bucks.
Yeah.
And he was spectacular when he was left wide open in that game seven, draining seven threes. He matched Steph Curry.
That's right.
We were calling him Grant Curry.
Jason Tatum was proud of you. Everybody's proud of you. He was basically just unloaded on all the things that they needed to do. Do this, do that, do this, do this, and don't do that.
So he was mic'd up for the entire game last night, the ESPN Wired segment where they mic up one player. I think they point like directional mics at them when they're on the floor. Does anyone know specifically how that works?
Like that big cone thing they use on the sideline of football
fields? They like zero in on him. So especially when he was going over to the sideline, you know, when things started going the Heat's way in quarter three, he's going over and he's the one giving the pep talks as a bench.
Everybody else's fault? Hug it down on ourselves. Some more play.
No more excuses. Oh, Grant.
He tries too hard.
Yeah, I feel like Perk pretty much summed it up last series in a simple tweet. Grant Williams, know your role. Carry the hell on. Like, cause I feel like Grant
did he
Williams.
End with carry the hell on?
Yeah, he always does. But it's like, you know, you're Grant Williams, and what you did was fantastic. Wasn't there like a little bit of a concern after Game 7 and the game he had that this was going to be a concern the first couple of games? Like, he just, I've arrived. I'm the leader. I'm the voice. Like, I telling Ime, calm down. Like, yelling at Ime in the third quarter, grabbing Tatum, grabbing everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, know your role. You're a good role player.
He's asking the team to call him Batman.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Really,
I mean,
weird.
It's fine. Like, look, okay, I obviously, he has a goofy side. He's 23. He's clearly the little brother on this team. But it's like, without Marcus and Al out there on the court, and I don't think Al was even allowed to be around anybody, I don't think it's on. Maybe Tatum should be the one turning around saying, like, dude, I know you have the directional mic on you.
Oh, my Lord.
And you played great the last game.
There we go, Tigers. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so here's the thing. I just feel like now that he's got the spotlight on him, he's like auditioning for like, oh, look how like, you know, effective I am, you know, encouraging and motivating the players around me. Like, I have layers. Not only am I a great spot up shooter and a great defender, but you know, the kids look up to me.
You calling him out for eyewash?
Yes. Yes, it seems too manufactured for me.
Unfortunately,
like,
I know the
mics are on me. I don't know.
Everybody says he never shuts up.
I thought I got there first. So
talk to a referee.
I know I stepped forward for sure, yeah. But I thought I went up right after I stepped forward.
Your arms are straight up, but you jumped towards him. You got to just go straight up.
I knew how to. I had to take a step.
I didn't look at you the whole time, Grant. That's all.
Yeah. No worries. Good call.
First of all, that ref was wrong.
The ref was like, Grant. I looked at you the whole time.
I'm glad you actually played that because on that one play, I don't know if the one I'm talking about, he did jump straight up.
What play are you talking about?
You're talking about when I don't know who was shooting, but he jumped straight up. And even the announcers were talking about it, and they called a foul on him. He literally jumped straight up in the air.
Arms in the air, straight up.
Arms straight up. And if you guys notice, like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they all did the same thing. They all raised their hands, and the announcers were talking about, oh, you can't just throw up your hands and think that, you know, you're not going to get a foul. And then they replayed it, and it wasn't a foul. So he goes to the ref, and the ref said, no, you lean forward.
I didn't look at you the whole time, Grant. That's all.
Yeah. No worries. Good call.
That's a good way to handle it, though.
Yeah, it's better than throwing your arms up and screaming
and at one point, he even said, like, the guy was talking to me. He said, yeah, I know. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I know what I can and can't do. I jump straight up with my arms in the air. But I'm with you on that one because he's done that many times. But that's
like,
a good way to talk
to him. If you're like a second-year guy, third-year guy, you know, in baseball, and you turn around and you start, you know, jawing at the umpire, like, I don't know. I think that was kind of low. Do they want to hear from you, or would they talk more to, like, your veteran guys maybe? Okay, I'll listen to you a little more because you've been around. You probably know what you're talking about. But Grant Williams, 3 years in the league, is really giving these refs a lot.
Well, that's what we talked about, though. He arrived game 7. You know what I mean? Like, he did. He arrived game 7.
And I see on the Twitch chat that, okay, he's excited. We get it. He's 23. He's excited to be part of a big series and contributing. But here's what you can't do if you're Grant Williams. You can't pick up a technical and get all pissy about that and then run down the other side of the court and then have your fifth personal foul.
He's like, kind of losing it there in the third quarter.
You can't do it. That's a meltdown. That's you got to be composed.
And that's why I felt like they all were having a meltdown. Like, individually, if you were able to just spotlight certain players in the third quarter, especially in the middle, when things were really going bad, they were all losing it. Ime was losing it. Grant was losing it. Jaylen was losing
it.
Didn't Grant.
Yeah, I know. But didn't that really, like, aggravate you that third quarter?
Yes.
Saying. Well, I know, but I'm talking about in the fourth when you're down 8, when you're down 9, when you're down 10.
And you kind of come back.
And you're like, man, if you didn't lose whatever it was, 39 to 14. Like, if you just got smoked 39 to 20, you know what I mean? You could have made it like a 3-point game, but it was like you let it get so far out of hand that it just, you couldn't come back from it. Like, that's ridiculous. 39 to 14.
That's why I feel like that's their 28-3. I mean, it's the same damn thing. It's ridiculous. It's such a crazy number. That's why if you want to feel better about it, you just go, there's no way this is happening again. The amount of turnovers that happen, like, one after the other, like, okay, you turn it over, you come back down, and you come back, and you turn it over again, and then they kind of bait you into a pass, and then you steal it again. Like, I don't know how, I feel like Jimmy Butler had, like, out of, what are the 6 turnovers that Tatum had, he probably had 4 of them. It was remarkable how often he was, like, just impacting the game defensively.
It's not going to happen again to this extent, but we're going to see a little bit of this. This is how the Heat play. This is their second half team.
We're not going to see that.
But the thing is,
not
you know,
this.
25
we're not going to see that, but we're going to see a little bit of this. This is how they play the Celtics. And they will stifle their offense. They will frustrate them. And it comes
so will
down,
the Celtics.
And it will come down to guys like Jason Tatum. Don't go over to the ref after PJ is throwing elbows at you at the free throw line, like trying to box out. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, he's going to throw his elbows at you. He's on you all game. I understand you're getting frustrated with it, but don't go tattling to the ref.
Isn't that part of it, though? Each team, like, okay, like, so the Heat are the best defensive team, but, like, how much of a margin? by how much? Like, they're both really good.
You think
good.
The
they're,
Heat is a better defensive team?
I think they're one of, yes, I do think
without,
they are
without
very
Marcus
good.
And Al or overall. Here,
hold on a second. Okay, they're both good defensively. Mm-hmm. Okay, by what margin? Who cares? The reality is that they're both really good. And their defense can impact a game. Hell, they talk about it all the time. They sit there and think, we're defensive-minded first, and then we hope that translates to our offense. So each team is going to have their way with you. Like, the Celtics defense are going to have their way. Look at the beginning of that game. They couldn't complete a pass. And then even in the third quarter, when the Heat were having their way with you defensively, you did make a couple steals, but you couldn't finish. You couldn't answer. And then in transition, you coughed it up again. That's why the lead... It just snowballed into 39-14.
22-2.
Oh, that run they went on. It was ridiculous. The quarter. I don't think they scored a basket for 7 minutes in the quarter or something. It was nuts.
No, it was rough. I think it was 6 minutes. 6 minutes without
a field goal. So with that, you should be like, all right, that's never going to happen again, right?
It's not by 25. And that's why I say, the differential lost by 25. You lose that quarter by 18, that's embarrassing quarter, right? But if you do that, you're sitting there like a 1 or 2 point game with 3 minutes to go. It was so bad. It was so bizarre. 22-2 run. I mean, you can't explain it. Maybe Scal can.
Yeah, let's turn to the expert because we have Brian Scalabrine.
Now, let's get the inside scoop on the Celtics. It's Scal time. Brian Scalabrine on Marloni, Fourier, and Mego. Brought to you by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And by the hair doctor of Brian Scalabrine, Dr. Matthew Lopresti, at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
All right, we're joined on the Harbor One Hotline by Brian Scalabrine from NBC Sports Boston. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm good. You guys can call me Scal. That's totally
all
fine.
All right, Scal. All right. Well, my first
term.
Question Scal. I have to get at, I'm going to get right to it. That third quarter, historically ugly. What do you think was the biggest thing that went wrong in that quarter?
I mean, I think it's somewhere in the middle of, I don't think we're as good as the first half where we're playing wild and free and Miami looks like they're running in mud. You know, that whole rest versus rust, they looked a little bit rusty and I thought, man, this does not look like the Miami Heat. But then in the third quarter, I don't expect us to kind of melt down like that. I will say the one thing that I talked about before and I will talk about throughout this series is, Miami Heat do things differently. Like, normally when people guard Tatum, they want to guard him straight up, and he's allowed to, get into his bag, go left and right, the step backs and all that stuff. And you saw that in the first half. What I saw in the third is something that I'm a little concerned by is P.J. Tucker he's a great defender. Like, he's a big, strong defender, but he uses his body to funnel people into help. So they're going to funnel Tatum to one area. Most of the time, they're going to try to pin him on the sideline. And then I was just surprised that Tatum lost his aggressiveness in that third. There was no one to look to. Usually you could have Al Horford take pressure off him, Marcus Smart. You guys know the situation with that. So it did really fall on Tatum. And Tatum has to become like a different player, more of a playmaker, but a guy who attacks and becomes a playmaker. So those are the things that really stood out. But you're not going to be the Miami Heat who struggled to score in the half court if you don't take care of the basketball and you don't rebound. And that was just like an epitome of like both of those things at the exact same time.
See, the one aspect that I was nervous about, and maybe it's just an outlier, Scal, is the whole mental toughness part. I mean, I get each team is going to have some runs of, out being more physical than the other guy. But the mental aspect of this, I feel like benefits the Heat more than it does the Celtics. What do you think?
Yeah, no question. But that's, then you come into talent. Like, the Celtics have more talent. Like, put it this way, we're not having this conversation about the Miami Heat being, in the Eastern Conference Finals or even having a shot to go to the NBA Finals if they're not all about toughness. So, yeah, like, if you want to pick that moment out, yeah, for sure. But, being physical only helps if you're physical and you're also – and you don't foul. Being physical and being is a good thing. But not if people have like a tremendous amount of skill over you. You could be tough and physical all you want. It is a skilled game. And so, yeah, I don't think that we're where we are. Like, I don't think we're in the first quarter, like first half. I don't think it's like that. I don't think we're that much better than the Heat, nor do I think the Heat are that much better than us when you kind of pull out that third quarter. But yeah, they're going to be physical. They're going to be – Milwaukee was physical. Like, the Milwaukee was a bruising, physical team. Giannis is a physical player. But our talent and skill was much more with them not having Middleton was much more than them. So we were fine with that. But Miami Heat, you're going to have to run through fire, go through hell to get through these guys. That's just how it is.
Scott, we were talking before, and I was saying how I think a guy like Jaylen Brown needs to be like the third best player in this series. How do you explain that night, last night from him?
He couldn't get himself going. I don't know, the short turnaround. I don't think he had a great game. I not at all. But, I don't think he played well in game one.
Right.
And then he had that great bounce back in game two. I mean, I remember talking to you guys, and you guys asked me, who were the stars of the Nets series? And I didn't use Jaylen Brown, even though he had a lot of points in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
So I thought Grant Williams and Al Horford were really good in that Nets series. But, I think it's like this is a good moment for Jaylen Brown to establish himself as an elite player. But it's like he has to do it. He has to go through those guys. And, I thought at the time where there was a lot of pressure on Tatum, especially I could tell like the Miami defense was focused with P.J. Tucker guarding Tatum, trying to, get in his ear, trying to get him into the antics. And then, like Marcus Smart would have been nice to have out there, but Jaylen Brown has to sort of pick up the slack of Marcus Smart and Al Horford. Tatum is already probably doing as much as he possibly can when you look at it. It's time for if those guys are out, I'm hearing Marcus Smart's going to be back for game two. But if those guys are out, then, Jaylen Brown has to be, the guy. And he's not afraid of that moment. He talks about that moment. He has performed in that moment. He just can't shy away from, when things start going sideways. This did look kind of like the old Celtics that we've seen. But it's a seven-game series. There's a lot. I think there were when I found out that Horford and Smart were out, I changed my tune really quickly. I thought the Celtics were going to win game one. I thought the rust versus rest. I thought Miami would be a little bit rusty, running in mud just a little bit. Once I found out no Smart, no Horford, I was really questioning, did the Celtics have enough mentally to get through that game one?
You brought up Smart. The Heat were kind of ruthless in the fourth quarter, the way that they were hunting down Peyton Pritchard for those switches at the top of the key on defense. How much of a difference does Marcus Smart make in situations like that if he's able to return for game two and onward?
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't single out Marcus Smart. And Peyton Pritchard, it's not easy to guard a Jimmy Butler. And as much as Jimmy Butler talked trash after that Peyton Pritchard bucket, just know that the Celtics are probably fine giving Jimmy Butler a pull-up jumper off of a spin dribble. So, sometimes you just got to look at the shot and say, I know they're hunting out Peyton Pritchard, but he didn't give any lanes to the basket. I thought he was solid defensively, and but he played well. He didn't play afraid at all. In the third, I thought they all kind of played afraid, but I thought Pritchard did what he was supposed to do in that moment. It was just the turnovers and the lack of toughness and the swarm of the Miami Heat going to another level. And remember, the NBA now is different. This is and by the way, I love it. I'm sure you guys love it too. The physicality is way up. So they're allowing a lot more physicality outside of when you go up to shoot the ball. So you got to be strong with it. You got to be tough with it. I thought Peyton Pritchard did all those things. And them singling him out, I think I would live with a lot of those buckets that he gave up.
I got to ask you about one other thing from the post game. So Bam Adebayo and Jason Tatum are buds. Adebayo had a quote after the game about the energy shifting, kind of throwing some shade at Jaylen Brown. Do you think that's mostly in good fun, or could we actually see a little bloodlust between these two teams? We haven't gotten a lot of that in these playoffs so far.
I think these guys are all pretty close and they're friends. So, I also don't think that bulletin board material. There's so much information out there and social media and all that stuff. These guys are kind of numb to that type of stuff. I think more than anything, more than social media or anything like that, their coach calling them out, you'll get the most out of that. So if Ime calls out Bam Adebayo to Jaylen Brown, he's talking about your energy. And if Ime calls out Jason Tatum for being friends, I think you might get something. And the same thing with Eric Spoelstra or Pat Riley. I think those players respect those guys. I don't know if they're going to, there's just so much info and stuff nowadays compared to what it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago when I played.
Scal, didn't you play with Jimmy Butler for a hot minute?
Yeah, that was my rookie. I was me and him. We used to go, think about where he's come. I used to beat him one on one. Like, just imagine where he's come from. And I used to talk smack to him. And I used to like, I watched him bust his, you know what? Like you know, it was amazing. And I always backed Jimmy. Like, I don't care what he did in Minnesota or Chicago. Like, I liked him. I liked his edginess. I liked his, like, he was rough, and I liked that about him. That's a good thing. And he's really benefiting from the rule change. Kevin Durant came out and said, a superstar is, and he named about eight things, and we were playing it on my radio show this morning. And, yeah, those eight things, that's Jimmy Butler. So when people don't think, like, when they think of superstar, a lot of people say he's not a superstar. In 2022, he is a superstar because defense matters. Defensive versatility matters. Rebounding matters. Toughness matters. So if you, like, you have to value everything in the NBA now. You can't just value, hey, this guy makes tough shots. It's so much more than that. Like, Kyrie makes tough shots. Kyrie has shoes and stuff like that. He's not anywhere close. James Harden is an elite scorer, like one of the best scorers of our generation. He is not on the same level as Jimmy Butler in this NBA. Like, but you go a year ago, it's different. Like, Jimmy Butler was penalized last year because the league wasn't physical. This year, the league is physical. He is a superstar in 2022. And if the rules change next year, he might not be a superstar. But this year, he's a superstar.
You know, Scott, last week we were talking about Grant Williams and how great he was. And there was a couple games, I think he called unplayable at one point. And obviously, Game 7, he was fantastic. I thought at times, I remember one point in that series, I think your boy Perkins, Kendrick, tweeted out, like, Grant Williams, know your role. And I just sort of watched Game 1, and he's, you know, talking to Ime and Tatum, and he's mic'd up, and it just sort of seems like he needs to maybe know his role. I don't know. You tell me. I know he's a talkative guy.
Nah.
But
you got to be like that, man. This is ego central. You know, it's like testosterone central over here. Grant has to be Grant. That's I don't the whole, like, know your role thing. That you know whose job that is? That's Ime's job. It's Ime's job to tell Grant Williams, hey man, you're doing too much. Hey man, like, let's not get mic'd up for game two. But outside of that, like if Ime has a problem with the shots or anything like that, that's anybody else. Like, Grant Williams has to play free. He has to go out there and take open shots. He has to have a swag about him. He has to play with confidence. You know, he made the first three of the game. Like, I was like, all right, here we go. He's picking up where he left off. So, like, know your role. That's the job for the coach to decide how Grant Williams played. That's a job for the Celtics leaders to help Grant Williams. Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, that's their job. It's not Grant Williams' job to know his role. It's their job to kind of help him understand what they need from him to win a game.
All right. Well, it's Ime Udoka's role to sign the rules. Hopefully game two goes a little bit easier for the Celtics. Thanks for joining us, Scal.
You got it.
Thanks, dude.
All right, Scal.
All right. Brian Scalabrine is brought to you by Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh, John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by the hair doctor of Brian Scalabrine, Dr. Matthew Lopresti. Call now at 1-800-GET-HAIR. All right, we're going to get back to the Celtics, but our buddy Tom E. Kern put something out, Patriots-related in the universe, and we have to quickly address it, so we're going to get to that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So, friend of the program, Tommy Curran, and we're going to get back to the Celtics, but we're going to do a little Patriots here. Friend of the program, Tom Curran, he put this out there a couple days ago. We haven't gotten a touch on it yet. It's the 10 Patriots with the most heat on them heading into the 2022 season. So, I'm going to run down them really quick, and you guys can bat them around.
Are these in order?
I don't think they're
no,
ranked.
No, there was no ranking.
No particular
ranked.
Order.
Yes, thank
no.
you, Lou.
I like no particular order.
Okay, so it starts with, ready? I'm just going to run through them without comment.
Okay, go.
Hold your applause.
Okay.
Cole Strange.
Yeah.
Joe Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
Cam McGrone.
Hmm.
Johnny Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Aguilar.
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Belichick / Gerard Mayo. Mm.
They're a tandem. They're a group now. They're
All right, that's it.
It's a weird list.
So who has the most heat on them? Well, obviously, okay, can I just start with the first one on the list?
Go.
Even though we're going in no particular order. He has absolutely zero heat on him, and that would be Cole Strange. He's a rookie. Yeah. He's a rookie. Rookies don't know.
But he's first-round pick.
Doesn't matter. You can screw up as much. You're a rookie. You're going to have some good days and the bad days, and everybody understands
that. And let's face it, we're going to be going to like the Pro Football Focus to find his grade.
Yes.
Because we're going to be like, I don't know, was he good? He's
a guard. And then you'll compare him to Shaq Mason.
Yeah, okay,
was it worth it all along?
It's good.
Okay, I guess.
I will say this. I think it's a strange list.
Okay, yeah. I have a feeling. So do you feel like there are names that are missing
you
on this
think?
List, Lou?
How about the quarterback? Like, there's
Matt
no
Jones.
Heat on Mac Jones, year two. I mean, listen, he's the quarterback. And like I said, there might not be. The reason why I might have left him on this list, off this list, is because maybe there isn't any heat on him. Because if he does poorly, we're going to blame the guys that are on this list. Joe Judge, Matt Patricia. But how is Bill Belichick not on this list? There's no heat on Bill with this draft, with this free agency? I mean, he is the GM, right? Or is it just the seasons that they have a good offseason? So he is the GM with this draft, with this free agency class, and more importantly, the coaches that he's put in place to guide this second-year quarterback, there's no heat on Bill?
No, it is curious because even during our last Quicksand season, I brought it up that Bill, when he took over here, you know, 20 years, whatever ago, and he was asked what his failures were before. He said that he didn't know how to delegate, and that's something that he's going to do differently. And now, decades later, he's taken on more than ever before, at least from what we can see. You know, he's been the GM and the coach, but now he doesn't have these. First, he didn't have defined coordinators on either side of the ball. He doesn't have defined titles anywhere. So who knows what's going on behind closed doors in Foxborough, but it's all going to come down on him. The heat's going to come down on him because there's no accountability spread around.
I think that the only person, there are some candidates in here that are legit. Like, so I think Nelson Aguilar is one. Jonnu Smith is one. I don't know why Cam McGrone would be on here. A guy coming off a knee injury that barely practiced last year and now is supposed to be a starter. The guy with the biggest target on his freaking big giant I'm a hardo forehead is Joe Judge.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, because we know he's going to talk the game, right?
How about Bill's binky?
Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think Matt's safe.
Because you know Joe's going to take the attention from him?
Because I think Matt realizes that it's safer just to be the offensive line coach. And I think he is going to be the O-line coach. Like, he can deal with the entire, it's different when you're dealing with an offensive line group, which has the most, almost like the most players and the most responsibility. Having a head coach guy is good. And he knows the offense, and now he just needs to deal with the technique. And he is going to have an assistant coach, Billy Waters. I can't remember what his name is.
You're right. Joe Judge is the
name. Joe Judge. And you know what? And he's marked. I feel like we've all kind of just, like, if you're going to act like you're a hardo and you're going to act like you know everything and be condescending and talk about not being evasive, I think people want you to fail more just because of your general attitude.
When you say people.
Me.
Okay, just clarifying for the audience.
I, me,
and I'm putting we.
We's good. We is good.
I put we as in Lou and I. I don't know how you feel about this yet, but I can't stand the hard-o coach moves that this guy is already throwing out there. I don't know him at all. I know Matt pretty well, and I would say based on what Matt went through, I think he'd be a little, you know, apprehensive to take that spotlight again. Like, and if his offensive line coach, he'll watch the plays just like everybody else was. He'll comment on what they should call. And then he'll sit with the offensive line the entire time. And he won't move until they get up there and they're on the field again.
So to Curran's point, he writes here, is it ironic that what's, quote, best for Mac Jones and the Patriots offense is also the most cost-effective for the franchise? Kinda. Either way, we're trending toward an offense led by Judge and Patricia. Per Mike Reese this week, the Patriots OTAs, you would know who the leading presence is for the offense among the coaches. The voices of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are standing above everyone else. They are leading this offense. So I would agree with him that there's going to be a ton of heat on those two. Those two would be the top.
Yeah, but I look at that. When I'm sorry. When I think of heat, I think of like expectations. I think there's heat on Kendrick Bourne. I think everybody expects him to be much better than he was last year. I think there's heat on Malcolm Butler. I think they put the heat on him. But like he's like whoever the starting corners are there's going to be heat on them, correct? The linebackers. Like I'm just saying like expectations, you're looking at guys and like these guys have to perform. Mac Jones, I would put heat on him. Like he, second year. Like some of these guys, like you said, Cam McGrone, like really? What's the heat on him? We don't even know if he can play. He might not be able to. Strange, the first year, he's a rookie. But it's like the guys that you need something out of. There's a lot of heat on them to take it to the next level.
No, you're right. I think there's a lot of meat on this bone. So we're going to continue this. We are going to get back to the Celtics. What can be different in game two and looking back on that disastrous third quarter? But I think we need to dig into this a little bit more. There's a lot of heat on the Patriots across the board. There's a couple of names left off this list. We haven't even really gotten to the players. So we're going to dig into that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.